So I'm going to be speaking within a very short time on what I have titled the art of leadership. And I'm going to be using the life of Nehemiah on the art of leadership. The art of leadership. Now, the book of Nehemiah chapter 1 and in verse 1, I'm sure I can have the scriptures on the screen. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive. And so on and so forth. The scripture goes on. So now, my objective this morning is to help us to understand exactly what leadership is all about. The first thing I want to say is that leadership is not position. Leadership is not title. It is possible to occupy a position without being a leader. And it is possible to be a leader without occupying a position. We saw that in the land of Israel. When David came into the camp at the time that Israel engaged the Philistine, there was a person in position. His name was Saul. But he was unable to rescue the people from the confrontation that they had. He was unable to handle the challenges of the people. But there was a person who was not in any position. His name was David. It was he who handled Goliath, tackled the challenge of the people, rescued the people, turned the tide. He was the man who had the leadership without the position. While Saul was the one who had the position without the leadership. So I want to have that as a basic foundation. That we are not talking of positions. We are not talking of titles. We are talking of function. Leadership is not an issue of position. It's an issue of function. We don't know a leader by the position they occupy. We know a leader by the function they perform. And so going further, we saw the issue, the situation with Israel, Jerusalem, in the days of the captivity of Judah. And the news came to Nehemiah while he was in the palace. He was settled. He was comfortable. He didn't need anything. And the news came to him about the situation of his people. That broke him down. He lost comfort. He lost peace. He lost excitement, even though he was at the palace, because his people were in reproach. So let's start a journey like this. First, leadership is about people. It's about people. It is possible for people to exist without a leader. But it is not possible for a leader to exist without a people. What makes a leader is the people. It is like it is possible to find sheep without a shepherd. They are straying. But it's not possible for anyone to call himself a shepherd without a sheep. It's not possible. You don't carry the title of shepherd where there is no sheep. That is how leadership is. It is possible for people to exist and there is no leader. But it is never possible for leaders to exist without people. Leadership is about people. Number two, leadership is being in touch with the people. No matter how highly placed the leader is, being in touch with the people. That was what we saw with Nehemiah. He was in the palace. He was already settled. He was comfortable. He had no need for anything. But he was in touch with the people. Being in touch with the people, no matter how highly placed the leader is. Number two, leadership, or number three now, leadership is openness to feedback from the people. Someone said, feedback is the breakfast of leaders. Openness to feedback. It is not possible to lead well until there is openness to feedback. Jesus had feedback. What do men say I am? What are they saying about me? What do they think about me? How am I faring? They say, some say you are liars. Some say you are this and that. Say, but what do you say? You give me an assessment of myself. Leadership must be open to feedback. Leadership must be open to the assessment of the people. Thirdly, leadership is bearing the burden of the people. The burden of the led. Every true leader feels the pain of people. Bearing the burden of the people. Feeling the pains of the people. Feeling the frustrations of the people. Feeling the afflictions of the people. I was coming out of my office someday to step into the car, and I saw one of the security men standing around, and he was not looking fine. I said, let me know what's going on. He said, oh yes, my wife is about to deliver, and I've done this, I've done that. I think they are going to do a cesarean session, and I have more need for money than I thought. Salary has exhausted everything. I said, is that why you are looking like this? Calm down. It's handled. It is settled. The burden, the pain, the feelings, to the extent we feel their pains, is to that extent we can heal their pain. Nobody can heal what they don't feel. We cannot heal institutions if we don't feel them. We can't heal a land until we feel the land. And I believe that that is why there is a scarcity. There is an abundance of position of pious, but there is a shortage of leaders. Where it comes to feeling the pains, feeling the frustration, feeling the hurt, to the point where you are moved into tears where necessary. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Nehemiah wept. If you look at leaders that we, classical leaders, like Moses in scripture, he saw, he felt the challenge of his people Israel. How he saw how their oppressor was oppressing them. He moved. You look at Joseph. Joseph came out in the morning in the prison and he saw the face of the prisoners downcast. He was not necessarily the head of the prison. But anywhere you see a real leader, whether he has the position or not, he feels the people. And the truth of the matter is, whenever you feel people, people know. People naturally gravitate in the direction of the one who feel them. In the direction of the one who feel them. That was what happened to David. When David saw Goliath oppressing the people, it became a concern. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of my God? Who is this oppressor oppressing my people? I rather die than watch this man. Leadership is feeling the pain and bearing the burden for the people. If we live here today and the only thing that we live with is a little measure of the pain, of the frustrations, of the feeling of the people around us. Whether you are a business leader, your employees, a community leader, the people in your district, a political leader, whatever is that realm of leadership, to have some realm of, some dimension of feeling, it will create impact. Leadership is bearing the burden of the people. Number five. Number five. Leadership is the acceptance of responsibility for the challenges of the people. The acceptance of responsibility. Leadership is the leader holding himself responsible for the things that must change. Leadership is the leader accepting no excuse for why things must not change for the people. Leadership is the leader accepting no excuse for why things must not change for the people. Leadership is the leader refusing to look for who to blame and holding himself squarely responsible. Leadership is responsibility. It is the appropriate response, responding appropriately to desired changes. Leadership is being proactive, not being reactive. Leadership is taking the initiative. I'm still talking about the acceptance of responsibility. Taking the initiative. Being the first one to do it. And I'm going to give some examples. Pastor Kayanja, the church you came, when you came to Abuja to preach about 15 years ago, that church you came, when we came to that place, it was more like a part of the town that was abandoned. There was no road there. There was no light there. There was no water there. Meanwhile, there were institutions there. We had a good school there, that popular school. We had a businessman, the millionaire man who had businesses there and so on. And we had one or two things there. But this place was left like that. So we were waiting. And you see, it is in the midst of challenges, in confrontation, in the midst of situations that leaders emerge. You just know who a leader is. Nobody advised David. Nobody spoke to him. He just knew that somebody needed to rise to handle this Goliath. He just knew that somebody needed to rise to change situations. Somebody needed to rise to help the people. And he just rose. It was inside him. He just rose. So when we came there, first thing we did was to go to the what we call the water board by ourselves for everybody, and went and brought pipe-borne water to the place. That's first. Then after a while, we went to the authorities again, went and bought two transformers, big transformer. One was dedicated to the church. Nobody was advising us to do this. Another one was dedicated to the community in that place that had no light. Then we went further. We decided to pave dual carriageway. Dual carriage, which means there is a street light in the middle and the ongoing one is 2-lane and coming back. We spent money. That first place that you came, that's the building there. And this road that you are seeing with the crowd and all that. We paved that road, paid for it in millions of naira without anybody asking us to do it. Put street light, paid for it from our pocket. Why did we do that? We decided, we saw the challenge that was on the ground. We saw that something needed to be done. And we were not waiting for who will do it. We're not saying you bring your own money, you bring less contribute. We're not ready to wait for that. We decided to step forward. We decided to take the initiative. And we moved. The police in that area had no vehicle, or whatever vehicle they had was not too good. We bought them a vehicle. We marked it for them. And all of that. And we decided to do that. And from then on, every time we saw a need, we saw a challenge, we deployed ourselves. Leadership, sirs and masters, is the acceptance of responsibility. We say something, that a leader who fails to accept responsibility becomes a liability. A liability. A burden. On the way to our house one day, where we lived, we saw this building that was there with paint was peeling and looking very, very shabby within that environment. And we looked and we said, no, we are living here. Nothing like this should be around where we live. And we decided to send people to go paint the wall, clean it up for them, and just nobody asked us. And the people were wondering, who is this? Who are the people doing this? He has a landlord. They had tenants. Landlord will not do it. Tenants will not do it. We are neighbors. We took the responsibility to do it for them. When we finished doing it, they came to us. Thank you, the tenant. We just want to appreciate you for giving us this facelift here. Leadership is the acceptance of responsibility. That is point number six. What was the last number on the screen? That was point number five. Number six now, leadership is the mobilization of all available resources. All available resources for the welfare of the people. You mobilize all available resources, everything available. Nehemiah spoke to the king. The king gave him the permission. The king asked him to go to the land of Judah. Whatever timber he would need, whatever anything he would need, he was going to give to him. It is the mobilization. The mobilization of resources, the mobilization of the people, leveraging on every advantage you have to assist in the welfare of the people. I want to say that the resources, all resources, at the disposal proposal of the leader is for the advantage of the people. All resources, all. Whatever you have that is available is at the disposal of the leader is for the benefit and the welfare of the people. Human resources, material resources, financial resources. Leadership is the mobilization of all available resources for the welfare of the people. Number 7, leadership. Because what Nehemiah was trying to do was to rebuild broken down structures. Leadership is the building and rebuilding of systems and structures. The building and the rebuilding of systems and structures for the welfare of the people. Systems, structures, school system, educational system, health systems, welfare systems, pension systems, whatever systems, building. Every time systems are broken down, it is evidence of no leadership. Broken down systems, failing systems, dilapidating systems. When you go to places where strong leadership exists, Singapore and other places like that, you see systems. I was in that country many years ago, and the person that was leading us, he said, see these condominiums, building high rises, plenty, all empty. And I said, what is this for? He said, these buildings are existing for children that are not yet born. These are condominiums that they have taken care already of children that are not yet born. Am I communicating at all? Is anybody what I'm saying? Somebody says systems. Somebody says structures. Building structures. Building systems for the welfare of the people is at the crux of leadership. Very, very important. Very, very important. I could go on and say one or two things about our own. We are not 100% there, but we are all the way going. Systems, structures, building them and rebuilding them. Now, I am going to say number 8, which is what would lead to this. Number 8 says, leadership is the possession of vision. All the things I have said before, none of them could have happened except the leader possesses vision. Hallelujah. Is the possession of vision. Nobody has the right to be followed if he doesn't know where he's going. Nobody. What makes a leader is the possession of sharp vision, clarity of direction. You know where you are going. You know where you are going. You know where you are headed. And you know where you are heading the people to. Possession of vision. So the strength of vision is the strength of leadership. The stronger a leader's vision is, the stronger his leadership is. And as we aspire for various leaderships, or rather strive and strain, the question is, what is my vision? Where am I going? Where do I want to take the people to? I heard something some time ago. It says the whole world will stand aside to allow a man to pass if he knows where he's going. If he knows where he's going, the whole world will stand aside. Allow the man, please pass. And you know what? When people are at a crossroad and everybody is standing, nobody knows where to go, and somebody just moves all the way from back, excuse me, and he just steps forward, everybody would naturally line up after him because he actually knows where he's going. That is the difference between functional leaders and positional leaders. Those with the function, they know where they are going. They can chart a clear course. This is where we are now. This is where we are going. By this time next year, we should be here. By this time next year, we should be here. By this time next year, we should be here. The other day, I sat with our people, and I said, by this time next year, this is where we are meant to be. And by this time, in so and so many years' time, this is where we are meant to be. The auto manufacturing companies of the world, Toyota and all of that, they have 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100-year projection. Vehicles that are not yet manufactured are in their design right now. How it will look like in 30 years' time, it's clear leadership, is the possession of vision. A clear vision. Number nine, leadership is capacity for clear communication of vision. Clear communication. One great thing about every true leader is not just that they have vision, they know how to clearly communicate it to the followership. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and in verse 17. It says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that will be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Amen. It's a clear communication. A leader is a communicator. People like Martin Luther King Jr. spoke until everyone was swayed and realized what this man is saying is true. This is the way to go. Until a leader is able to communicate and carry people along, let me tell you what John Maxwell said. He said, anybody who claims to be leading with nobody following is just taking a stroll. He's taking a walk. You're just strolling. Because leading means somebody is following you behind. And if you are not being followed, you are just taking a walk. So, clear, whether it's as a pastor, whether it's as a leader, whatever level of leadership, the people with you should know where we are, where we are going, and why. What is the reason why we should all agree to go in that direction? Because true leadership is not first, it is end. With clear communication. Clear communication. Clear communication is the capacity for clear communication. And number 10, I may actually end there. Leadership is people development. The development of people. Raising people from where they are to higher levels. People development. A leader is known by the amount of people, the volume of people he had developed. Nehemiah was a leader. He was at the front there. He was doing it all alone. But suddenly he came and raised more leaders, mobilized the people until he was able to impart them with vision, impart them with whatever is necessary. And they all of them strengthened themselves and went up. A real leader does not go up alone. He goes up with the people. And after a while, when you have led very well, will be able to point to this, 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 this. This whole community went up. This whole district went up. This whole set of people went up. They went up positively. They went up profitably. They went up to impact their world. I have personally come across several people, even right in this room, that I can point to and say, this one, I knew where when he was like this. But I now know where he is right now. What he's doing financially, what he's doing spiritually, what he's doing to impact and to touch the world. Leadership is the development of people. One young man met me sometime. A mother brought a young man to me. He was in second year in medicine. And he was about to drop out of school because his father is a drunk. Was a drunk father, couldn't pay his medical school fees. And the mother said, this boy is about to drop out of medical school. Father is a drunk. And I told the young man, and I told him, you cannot drop out of school. I'm a medical doctor. My wife is also. I know what it means to gain admission to medicine. I know what it means to have the brain to study medicine. And now you are there and you want to drop out. I'm going to take you up. So I sponsored him through the university. He graduated, became a doctor. And he came to me. And he said to me, excuse me, sir. I want to thank you for helping me to fulfill my life's vision. I would have been frustrated if I never became a doctor. I want to thank you. And I said to him, don't thank me. You know, the only thank you I want from you, look for somebody that is like you, the way you were when I met you. Look for him, pick him up, train him through school, and as many as you can do that. Then tell him to pick another person. And then let that person tell the other one to pick another person. Let the chain go round. I develop you. God helps me to used me to develop you. You develop another person. You develop another person. Let's pick people from the ground. Let's enhance the value of people. And I believe the Lord will help us. So what is leadership? Leadership is about the people. Leadership is being in touch with the people. Leadership is openness to feedback from the people. Leadership is bearing the burden of the people. Leadership is the acceptance of responsibility for the challenges of the people. Leadership is the mobilization of all available resources for the welfare of the people. Leadership is the building and rebuilding of systems and structures for the welfare of the people. Leadership is the possession of people of vision. Leadership is the capacity for clear communication of vision. Leadership is people development. In summary, a leader is a generational asset. A leader is a valuable personality. When we say that someone is a leader, his presence with the people is felt. His absence is noticed. People feel him. The positiveness of his impact is with them. They also feel his vacancy. His presence is felt. His absence is noticed. And I say to people, if you are a true leader, if you are a true person of impact, your presence will be felt and your absence will be noticed. And if your presence is not felt, your absence can never be noticed. And if your presence is not felt and your absence is not noticed, then it means your presence was never needed. Your presence is not felt. Your absence is not noticed. Your presence was never needed. You were not needed. You were just a space occupier. You know, there's something we call space occupying lesion in medicine, where a tumor occupies the brain. It's not needed there. So it's causing a lot of pressure in the brain. The doctors are here, I'm sure. It's causing a lot of pressure. It's causing a lot of distraction. I set myself a time to speak, and the time is up. Hallelujah. It says, but finally, leadership is the making of a difference. Making a difference, not making a living. There are many people who are busy making a living. Leadership is making a difference. Leadership is impact, not income. Impact, which is superior to income. There are many, it's all about how much will I make? No. Impact is better than income. And finally, leadership is posterity, not prosperity. Posterity. What will I be remembered for when I am no longer there? What will my world remember me for? When they think of me, they think of me in what regard? Do they bless the womb that gave birth to me, or they curse that womb? You know, one day, a woman stood in the crowd and said, be the breast that gave Jesus suck. In other words, for my sake you were born. How many people can say, for our sakes they were born? How many will bless the womb? That is what true leadership and impact is all about. Thank you so much. Can we stand up on our feet? I know this is a leadership meeting, but Nehemiah prayed. And I believe we can offer a word of prayer. Whatever prayer you will pray, I receive help to lead well. I receive the help to do well. I receive the help to lead well. I receive the help to do well. Oh Lord God Almighty, grant me the help to do well. I receive it. Go ahead in prayer. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I am going to pray a very neutral prayer, and I want everyone to, as much as you can, to join in prayer and say to me, Almighty God, I come before you today asking you to help me to be the person you want me to be, to be the leader you want me to be. Help me to know you, to fear you, to live for you, to live for the people, and to lead well. Help me, Lord, so that when my time on earth is over, I will receive a thank you when I see you. Help me, Lord, to escape hell. Help me, Lord, to make heaven at the end of my life. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing me. In Jesus' name, amen.